Welcome to, I guess, like I have on the graphic, it's the Rampage Ramble, but it's for Dynamite. Yeah, that's right. There is a need for a Dynamite review show, so we're going to be stepping up. And who are we? Well, I'm Boris, and I am joined by the one, the only, Dick Xavier. Dax, how's it going?
Fantastic. I feel like I graduated from high school and going into college right now.
Right?
No disrespect to Rampage. We had some great Rampage times. But I felt like the Sweat Hogs from Welcome Back, Carter. It was like, we were dope, but like nobody, we were the remedial, you know, part of the whole land. Yep. So now I feel like Barbarino has stepped up finally.
Exactly. That's exactly it. I think that's a beautiful way to put it. So obviously, you know, Matt's taking a bit of a break from Sunday night's main event. I hope, you know, sometimes everyone needs it, right? Dax, yeah. You and I have talked about this and it's one of the things I preach is, you know, everyone's got to take care of themselves. Everyone's got to put themselves first. Everyone's got to make sure that they're feeling good. So Matt's kind of taking a step back. He's doing his own thing. You know,
and I respect that.
Exactly. Exactly. And at the end of the day, the door is always open and we'll see, you know, if he when he comes back, not an if, it'll be a when. There's so much unfinished business that we have to do, especially with Bam and stuff. Having said that, there was a need for a Dynamite review. So we're changing things up here as I'm taking a look at all of the shows. You know, trying to make sure that we have the right people doing the right stuff. So Dax and I are going to be covering Dynamite for the foreseeable future, and the Grants are actually going to be taking Rampage and inputting Rampage into their Collision catch-up. So I guess it'll be like an AEW catch-up type of show that we're going to be getting on Sundays, which is great. But Dax, here we are on a weekday chatting.
How about that? Wrestling. So weird. So weird.
And for those of you who don't know what we do, there's a reason why it was called the Rampage Ramble for so many episodes. It's because we literally shoot the shit for quite a long time. And eventually we talk about the wrestling show. I'm going to try to keep the rambling to, I'm not going to say a minimum,
very minimum.
A medium. I'll try to keep it to a medium.
I can work with that. So how was your week so far? How are you feeling?
So I've had an interesting couple weeks. You know what? Let's just talk about it. I guess enough people know, but a couple weekends ago I was in a really bad car accident. Ended up breaking a rib, having a concussion, effed up my knees real good, got whiplash, like the whole kit and caboodle. That first weekend, it was actually the weekend that I took over SNME, which I kind of felt like George Costanza. God just wouldn't let me be successful. God just wouldn't.
Right.
Right? Like, it was so, yeah. So I've been recovering from that. Still getting the headaches, still getting like some blurred vision at times, like where it's just like, ooh, you know, it's getting drunk without the fun part of actually drinking.
It's coherent drunk.
Yeah, so I've been kind of recovering from that and also trying to wrap up work. And this year work's been crazy because like it just everyone seems busier than ever. Meanwhile, corporate America's like laying everyone off, but I guess everyone's just trying to make themselves useful at this point. But it's just work has been super crazy. So I'm trying to wrap stuff up. Tomorrow is my official last day before January. So then after that, right, my focus is right back into SNME because there's a lot of things that I do want to do in SNME, like kind of, a lot of internal housekeeping that needed to get done. I think it's time to do some of that. But Dax, before we move forward, let me remind some people on a few things here in the world of SNME, the best and the worst that is happening. Those are going to be recorded very shortly. The ballot is open for patrons, and it's going to be open for patrons until tomorrow. And then tomorrow, my friends and family and everyone in between will be able to be getting their ballot in. So I'm going to be putting up the general link on the Facebook group. And we're gonna take things from there. It's gonna be a very fun episode, as they always are. And so that's gonna be happening. And There was something else that I wanted to talk about, but I completely forgot what that was. I'm just going to blame the concussion on that one. But best and the worst happening for everyone. Now I remember what it was. It wasn't anything different. It was the dates. So everyone's going to have until Wednesday, December 20th at 11:59 p.m. Eastern. So we're giving you until next Wednesday's Dynamite. I wish I can extend it, but you know, it's just the timing, and you know, we gotta do that, the shows.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd had to do that for when I used to do that for the best. And actually, I am doing a best of 2023 for Talk Time Live podcast, because I did it every year. It's a tradition. But I had my own Facebook group to actually, you know, do the voting and all the stuff. So I had to do this exact same thing. And it's a lot. It's still a lot. I still have to gather down all the best anime, the best movies, the best video games this year and all. I stopped doing the worst, though. I absolutely stopped doing the worst because it was a lot of work to do. Plus, it just depressed me.
Yeah. The worst can't be depressing.
Wrestling, it works for wrestling. It works very well for wrestling.
100%. And that's the thing. It works for wrestling, especially the way that we do. We try to take a comedic approach to stuff. It's not about shitting on anyone's work. Look, I respect the hell out of anyone who steps into that squared circle. It's something that I would love to have been able to do, but clearly
even the worst is better than what we could do.
Exactly. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. Unless you're Dana Brooke, but that's a different story for a different day.
Or Lisa Von Erich.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, man. Oh, so yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. Yeah, I just completely blanked. Yeah.
It just, well, I mean, it's amazing that we're in December. It just feels like this entire year just went so quickly.
Really,
I feel like
did.
Yesterday we just saw the Wrestle Kingdom match between Ospreay and Kenny Omega.
Dude. It's so crazy that like it's, and what's crazier is like a lot of people, one of the biggest things that we talk about here, as I talk to a lot of people in the network, is just the two things. Number one, everyone loves the best and the worst, and everyone wants the best and the worst to happen in January. There's a reason why it happens in December, and it's essentially the radio schedule, and well, yeah. People need breaks, right?
Right,
number
exactly.
Number two is before. We have a pay-per-view this year happening on the 30th, right? Like, there's just so much mm-hmm. wrestling, so much more wrestling than when this show started back in 2018.
Yeah.
You know, another thing a lot of people talk about on the network, and look, I'm going to try to get everyone's feedback. That is something happening in early January. But one of the, you know, I've been talking to select people. And again, if you want to chat, reach out to me. Just send me a DM on Facebook. That's probably the easiest way to get a hold of me, especially if you're listening to this show. I'm sure you're a part of the Facebook group. So just send me a DM, and that's the number of shows that we have. The way that I kind of see this, and you and I talked about this, is there's so much wrestling right now that on the weekly show, you really have to pick and choose what you talk about. Like, even when I'm preparing my notes, I'm like, oh, I would love to talk about this, but you know, this might be more important. Or I try to pick topics that other shows aren't talking about, and that might get that discussion and you know, entertainment factor going. So I see all the other shows, you know, all the review shows and all of that stuff as kind of supplemental, in the sense of they're helping the main show cover what we can't actually cover on the main show.
Right. Absolutely. Well said. And here's another thing that I think people don't realize and pay attention to. And I say this often. I don't know if you've ever heard me ever say this, but I use the term. I've never heard this term, but I made it. I'm going to own up to saying I created this term. Short attention society.
Yeah, yeah.
I've used that many times online and try to imprint that in people's head to make them understand that, like, we are living so fast paced that we so often forget so much of what has happened during the year. So much so that when we have discussions on social media, that you're talking about things without even realizing or remembering a lot of what happened just a few months prior, because we're so rapidly fast paced right now. Everything is just happening so fast. This is why I wish that we would slow down a bit, or even just take the opportunity to go back and remember or research some of the things that is going on, not only just year, but just research was going on in the past. I had a very interesting discussion about, it was something comic book related, and in reference to the Marvel Cinematic Universe and all this stuff. And it was just crazy. And I talked to you about that. I showed you, because people didn't understand. There were people who watched the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but they never read the comics. So they didn't understand the history of this stuff and why it was like, it was about, I think it was about, you know, the fact that Iron Man wasn't the top, he wasn't the top dude.
It came down to, like, essentially, just to summarize the conversation, because I don't remember the details. It was basically, you know, there was a group of people who were trying to say that, you know, Iron Man, Guardians of the Galaxy, essentially what they had to choose from to create the MCU were the secondary characters, where there was...
That was my defense. That was my thing. Yeah. It was like, they weren't... I've read comics back in the day. They were not the most popular characters, especially the Guardians of the Galaxy. But then... These guys who just only became fans after, you know, after 2008 when Iron Man came on, they just thought because Robert Downey Jr. and all this stuff came out, but they never looked at the past and they don't remember this stuff and they never even, mm-hmm. you know, discovered stuff. But we live in this generation where we don't look at the past. We just keep it moving. And I'm like, we don't have to do that. So guys got to remember, look at the past things. It's like, just because it's current doesn't mean it was the best. It's just, you need to look back and see, was it really there? Because there are a lot of people who just automatically think that this is the best thing that they saw, which is recent, but they don't go back and remember, like, oh, I forgot about that match. I forgot about this event. I forgot about this pay-per-view. You know what I'm saying? Like, because you just, your short attention span forgets so often. So I think we all need to bring ourselves back and start, you know, developing a mindset that is more than 240 characters in a tweet and really focus, like being able to read more than a paragraph, being able to, you know, observe situations. You know, if we get back to that, we could really talk some real, you know, some real wrestling ish in this case.
Oh yeah. 100%. 100%. That's exactly what I want to do with the best and the worst, right? It's I'm not, like I said, I'm not trying to shit on stuff, but it's more a man, we are lucky in the year that we've had a professional wrestling. We've had so much good and so much bad. Let's celebrate the good and the bad and reflect on all of that. And that's kind of the way that I want to do it, because like you said,
well, I'll help you out. Let's not say shit on. Let's say critique.
Sure, we'll go with that. We'll go with that.
I mean, critiquing good or bad and giving, you know, you even though you're a fan, you still have some constructive criticism as to what you see. You don't have advanced understanding because you may not have, you know, actually been in the industry or had the experience. But as a fan, you know what you like and you know what you don't like.
Yeah.
So you could give up to a certain extent of what you like and don't like. But like, you know, there's some things you just don't like. I mean, that's just, it just is. You can't like everything.
Agreed. 100%. Sorry, it was just someone sent me a clip of something. And I always forget, like, everyone and their mother has a podcast right now, especially these old TV stars, right? Where they talk about whatever, like the kids from The Sopranos, AJ and Meadow. They have their own show. Michael Rosenbaum and Clark, I forget what his name is. They have their own.
Oh, the Smallville guys.
Yeah, the Smallville from Smallville. Yeah. Someone sent me one of the Smallville ones. I'm like, oh yeah, that's a thing. I always forget that that's an actual thing.
I always jokingly say, like, you know, actors cheat when they do podcasts because they get instant they get instant pull from just being a celebrity alone. I ain't mad at it at the same time.
Starting a podcast can be so scary sometimes. Everyone wants to do it, right? But a lot of people get discouraged, number one, with the time it takes, the editing, the technology, and there's so many things to help you now, right? But I think a lot of people, and Chris Van Vliet and I talked about this offline once, where a lot of people get extremely discouraged is on listeners and listener numbers. And honestly, my one advice to anyone who asks me about podcasts is don't even look at your numbers. For the first
all right, bits. That's one. The other one is you can't do it for the numbers, you can't do it for the money.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But for the sheer fun of wanting to do it. But you do have to learn how to do it right.
Yes.
Like, I've had so many conversations with people about, you know, wanting to do it, but they don't want to go full blast on it. Like, they don't want to put in the effort. It took me, I didn't just instantly start my podcast when I did it in like 2015. It was 3 years in the making. Same. Because I knew jack about how to put a podcast over what I needed. I studied. People, listeners, learn this word. I studied. I researched. I would not move until I knew I had a quality project, because back then it wasn't Apple Podcasts. It wasn't, you know, Google Podcasts. It was iTunes. And iTunes was the hottest and only thing around at the time. And if your podcast was not good enough, if you didn't put a sample in there and they didn't prove that sample within 24 to 48 hours, that tells you, and they will reject you. That tells you right there, you're not ready.
Yep.
Luckily, after 13 hours of submitting it, mine was good and I was good to go. But I had to study what right mics I had to use, what programs I had to use, how I, you know, get my levels right, how to put, you know, I invested money into buying tutorials, to buying programs, to buying all this stuff. You gotta invest in it. You got to invest. I always say this to my clients when I'm working as a multimedia developer. There's a difference between spending and investing. And those who are worried about spending does not see the big picture of their product and brand. Those who are investing has a plan of action that they know 5 years from now, they did their own proposal. They've written up their own proposals. They forecasted their situation and they know what they're planning to do. They even know the loss that they're going to take within it enough to embrace it enough to say like, okay, this is what we're going to do. 5 years from now, this is where I want to be. We're going to get somewhere within that in 5 years, but I need to invest in the things that I need to invest in now and not worry about it. That's the difference. Those who do that, those are my clients that have stayed in the game, even past the pandemic. Those who did not, I've never seen them again.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. That's a great way to put it, right? Like, yeah, I did the same. I did so much research. I didn't know jack all about sound and stuff like that.
Right.
I remember investing.
You got to be a student.
$400 in a mixer. Yeah. Another, you know, $100 on Shure mics, like just the handheld ones, the M58s that I still have, by the way. And in fact, I use them for my on location podcasts. You know, so I bought four of those plus the stands and all the cables and just the amount of cables that I had, because I didn't know what cables needed to do. And I had this vision of where I wanted things to end up. And I kind of worked towards that. And then just learning like sound levels and stuff like that. And then it's kind of funny because I was recently, like, quote unquote, recently, about a year ago, listening to some of my old podcasts. Oh man.
God bless you. I told myself I kept a few of my old interviews. I still have. Like I'm now posting them from like next week when I go on break. I'm gonna just, you know, shoot some of those old interviews up that I haven't uploaded onto the new platform that I'm on. But I still have the first episode and I'm like, I need that because I need a reminder of how far I've come. And it is a far contrast of what I am now.
Same.
It is amazing.
Same. Even when I relaunched It's Canon in 2020, I took a bit of a break. Many breaks we've taken with It's Canon. And I remember even when I came back in the middle of the pandemic and where I am now, night and day. But honestly, it's night and day because of Jason Agnew. Jason Agnew, like, honestly took me under his wing. He was teaching. He taught me the ropes. And you know, like I said, one day, and that day is coming a lot sooner, and people will know why that was the case, right? Like,
it's funny. Like, we talked about that, too. Like, I got to give credit. I don't know if I'll ever meet him or, you know, or to what faction, but I've taken a little from him. Yep. And upon listening to him, when he was on the show, I would listen to exactly how he does his show. And I picked up on things on what he did. And I was like, okay, I got this. I see what he did and I like what he did. I'm going to implement that.
Yep, exactly. Oh, he's fantastic. Honestly, he still gives me tips and stuff. Like, I talk to him every day for the most, not every day, but a lot. We talk more sports than anything else, but.
Right.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, we've been chatting for about 20 minutes. Typically, we geek out in this time, but there was just a couple things I wanted to get to as I'm being just my face is being hit with this Ozempic ad coming from my computer. Manscaping or Ozempic? I don't know which one's more annoying. Let's debate that for another 40 minutes.
I think not.
Blue Chew versus Ozempic.
Oh, good God. No, I'm going Ozempic, man. No, I don't need the Blue Chew yet. I'm still good.
That's the one rule I have. Not even a rule. But it's like if one of the hosts from one of the other shows say, hey, I have a sponsor. Who is it? Blue Chew. You're out. I'm joking. Only half. Omaha Steaks, I'll accept.
Okay, there you go. Food, anything food related, I'm down with.
Yep. Especially because, like, on the radio side, we're not allowed to have food as a sponsor per se. Like,
really?
Like direct, like food. At least for one of our affiliates, we're not allowed.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. What is there a reason
it's
why?
Not that we're not allowed. You have to get prior before you sign the contract. Before you bring them on board, you have to get prior. Like, okay, I think just because there's so many
FDA rules and everything. Okay,
stuff like that. The Canadian equivalent.
But you could get pharmaceutical.
No,
OTC one. Stuff.
No.
Oh, okay, I was about to say. I'm like, yeah, all right. If there's food, there's definitely drug. That shouldn't be allowed either.
Exactly. Jesus, how many times have I hit myself on the mic today? Like, I'm just...
Hey, everything that happens to you today is okay with everything that went on. So, folks, yeah, let him go. Let him go with it.
Give me
until he throws today. Up in front of... Until he goes blind in front of the screen.
for anyone who's wondering, like, Dax was asking me how I'm feeling. I'm like, I kind of explain everything, and he's like, well, you basically have every symptom of a concussion. And then I just quickly said, except I haven't thrown up.
But, and yeah. we're just a train. And we're seeing that the train is going to go up during this episode. Right.
All right, man.
You ready to hit it, man?
Let's hit it. All right, so we are going to be talking about Dynamite episode 219 from Arlington, Texas at the Collegiate Park Center. And this was Winter is Coming. So, Dax, before we get to the show, a couple things I want to touch on. Number one,
yeah,
Winter is Coming. It used to be this bigger than normal Dynamite, right?
Yeah, right.
I felt that this was just another episode with a cute little moniker for whatever reason. And the reason for that, I think, is just because with so many pay-per-views and a pay-per-view around the corner, it's hard to make these Dynamites stand out the way that they used to.
This is the part, I believe I've read something from comicbook.com with they were interviewing Chris Jericho, and he put it plainly, AEW is having an identity crisis, or maybe that's what comicbook.com was saying. I'm like, that's actually a really good way of putting it right now. Not even an identity crisis, but they're trying to figure themselves out again. And with the whole new format and restructure of what, you know, these new pay-per-views, which I'm not a big fan of them adding more pay-per-views, because like you said, it dilutes everything that's on there. I'm worried about some of the original, you know, the Fyter Fest, all that stuff. It's going to dilute itself. Like, Winter is Coming was, like, to me, the Clash of the Champions-esque type of event. And just like the Clash of the Champions, it's, you know, after the Clash of the Champions, when WCW started adding more and giving oversaturating things, it dilutes everything else.
Yep.
I don't understand why... This man is doing some of the same mistakes that has been done in the past when he was doing so good, doing the opposite of everything that was done in the first 4 years of this company.
Honestly, I think a lot has to do with kind of like, you know, he was doing so well. He was getting praised. There's a little bit of criticism, and he feels like his back, and we're talking about Tony Khan right now, he feels like his back is against the wall, and he's like trying so much all at the same time, and some of it is just not sticking, right? And I think that's the issue, is that he's never had to come, go uphill with AEW because everything has been in that sweet little honeymoon phase for so long. And now that that honeymoon phase is ending, well, here we are. And, you know, it's funny that you said the whole identity crisis, because the way that I see this is like, you know how people get, male or female, can get after a breakup, right? They broke up with CM Punk, and now they're trying to find themselves. They're taking time.
But somebody gets themselves. That snap. Are they going to get their snap back body like some other celebrities do when they, you know, break up with somebody? They get in a mad shape and they become better than ever. Is this going to be AEW?
Or you become bitter and angry like me. Like, you just never know what's going to end up happening.
I'm hoping for the first. Much, you know, offense, but
yep.
But I mean, honestly, it's not the end of the world. And if they don't think it's the end of the world, we shouldn't think it as well.
Exactly.
You know, if you guys remember, again, I just talked about the short attention society aspect of this and us not remembering things. Like, everybody's acting like, you know, WWE's been the hottest thing for like years. No. If you guys remember, 2019, people hated WWE because they weren't giving them what they want. It was crappy. Vince McMahon was just doing whatever the hell he wanted. And it led to people, some of the, you know, contrarian, pretentious, hypocritical people going to AEW that are now, you know, crapping on AEW. But in 2019, a lot of them were going to AEW because they felt like they were putting in the effort that giving fans what they want.
Yep.
Exactly. Now, Vince left, and then everybody started migrating back, and it was like, you know, a lot of people started migrating back, and it was like, okay, where's the loyalty at, first of all? And two, you know, don't act like you didn't enjoy what they were giving you, you know, for the first 4 years. And we don't forget that, you know, they were, you know, promotion of the year and match of the year and, you know, superstar, you know, wrestler of the year for like 4 consecutive years. Let's not forget that. And then all of a sudden you lose loyalty to him.
It's funny that you say that because I've been taking a peek at the best and the worst, and holy crap.
There's a lot of changes, I bet. I'm pretty sure there's some changes. I
cannot wait to talk about what last year's results were compared to this year's, because some of them are insane. I have to completely derail this show because I love to do that to you. Is that an Ultron shirt?
You mean this? No, this is Bleach.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. I see it now.
I get why you would say Ultron because of skulls.
Yeah, you're minimized. Yeah. All right, I see.
This is one of the gimmicks that I got from New York Comic Con.
Is that like a wool sweater? Like what material is that? Because that looks so comfortable.
Oh God, it's the best. I got this one, and I got an Evangelion. Yeah, only the hardcore of anime fans know what Evangelion is. I won't say the name of the company because we're not being sponsored by it, but it's very well comfortable. It's I believe it's inside. It's like kind of fleece. It's really fleece inside.
Yeah.
It's kind of cotton outside.
It looks it.
Yeah, and it's not cheap either. So
No, this stuff is I know.
I'm just glad that we're back to wearing kind of the baggy-ish type of clothing. I feel like we're getting back to the, we haven't gotten that way with the jeans, but we gotten that way with the jackets, and the, like, we're getting a little bit to the 90s.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. I just can't wait for me to be able to take out my Miami Dolphins windbreaker 1991 jacket and just.
I'm ready to wear Tim's again, like for real.
Or Fila?
No, dude. In the East Coast, we rock Tim's. I know. No, if I really want to do it, let's go Lotto and start, you know, switching. You guys ever had Lotto sneaks back in the day?
Yeah, we did. Oh, yeah.
So you know what it is, that we trade up the patches?
Yeah, so here's the thing. They weren't that popular here, but if you played soccer, you probably wore.
Yeah. No, we rocked. They were like trendy during the '80s and all the stuff. We would like trade off the color patches and all the stuff because that was the gimmick that they had back then. But it was our thing.
Yep.
But okay. I digress.
Back to wrestling. So it didn't, this year's Winter's Coming didn't feel as big as the other ones.
And
my next question to you is overall impressions of the show. Everyone seems to be liking the show for the most part. I'm up and down with it. Here's the thing. From a pure wrestling point of view, I thought that the show was pretty good, but there was not much meat on the bone outside of wrestling.
Here's why I think, here's why I would agree with you, and here's why I'm going to agree with why people liked it. Yes, you're absolutely right. As an overall Winter is Coming s type of, you know, show, we usually get a lot more surprises, a lot more things going on. Like when you think Winter is Coming, I mean, there was nothing bigger than Sting's arrival. That's the number one thing people remember about Winter is Coming. There's usually some sort of surprise coming in. We did get nothing. What I believe why people loved it so much is, like you said, the wrestling aspect. I don't think I didn't even consider it Winter is Coming. I consider it the Continental Classic continues.
Yeah.
Because that's where I think everybody was focusing on. And that's a testament to say how successful I think this tournament has been since it started. I will say this tournament has made me a sports fan and watching it. Like I watch it. I never got a chance to really watch the G1 tournaments because I don't, I only seldomly get, you know, New Japan World every so often, but I love the round robin challenge. I love that. To me, this is, in my opinion, the best tournament they've ever done because they've done a lot of tournaments, but they just felt like they were meaningless. They were meaningless. This one, because they implement something that they did 4 years ago, scoring and keeping track of things, it really tells a story. And then on top of that, if you are a fan of AEW and if you've been watching their social media, they got the interviews. And the interviews, the post-interviews have been so awesome, and it helps tell the continued story and everything that's been going on with every single wrestler that's been going on, win or loss. And I love it. I feel like I'm watching a sport. You know, this is very sports centric to me, and I really got into it because of that. So yeah, I get what you're saying. You're right, and I would say that the fans are right as well.
I will say this, although there are some intriguing storylines happening within the Continental Classic right now.
Absolutely,
that I'm really enjoying, and we'll talk about some of those stories as we review the show.
Yeah,
and we're not going to go blow by blow. I assume a lot of people either have watched it or just want to know the gist of what happened. So that's kind of how Dax and I talk about man, my computer's really hot. Like it's boiling right now. Woo! You can fry an egg on thing. Let me turn on my fan properly here. All right, we're good. Like it's like burning.
You're on laptop, right?
Yeah, I'm on a laptop.
Jeez. Anywhere.
This laptop has always had a temperature issue. Anyways, so yeah, we're going to talk about some of the intriguing stories that are happening, and that's what I love about the G1. The G1 is always able to get some really cool stories within its own tournament that make up for the fact that, hey, if you want your sports entertainment, if you want your storytelling, you're going to get that too. So that's kind of where we're at. Overall, I thought this was a fine episode of Dynamite. Perfect start for us to get into what we do best, and that's talk about pro, well, second best, and that's just talk about pro wrestling. Yeah, man, let's get right to it. The same way that the show started off, Samoa Joe comes out, and Joe said that he vowed to protect MJF until their championship match at World's End, but he wasn't able to do that last week. And then he essentially threw Hangman Adam Page under the bus, kind of insinuating / accusing Hangman Adam Page of being the devil.
There was a great interaction between those two. I love Samoa Joe just does not get enough credit for how awesome he is. Oh, like just all around talent. Like he is just fantastic. He feels real. You know, like he embeds the Taz like aura.
He does.
And
he really does.
He's to me, like I instantly gravitated to him. Like I was at Ring of Honor when he debuted. And I immediately gravitated to him because when I went to EC, when I used to go to ECW Arena, it was Taz. That was my main dude. Like, cause he just felt real. I didn't even realize how small he was compared to everybody else, but he just felt like he can legitimately take you out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Joe gives me that same thing. And I just love how far his career has come to this point. Like, I mean, now he's truly King Shark and Sweet Tooth, and he's just one of the best out there right now.
Exactly. Hangman Adam Page comes out, kind of a teases, but he tests Joe. But at no point does Hangman really say that he's not the devil, but he's kind of just, you know, saying, hey, Joe, how about you do something about that? Roderick Strong comes out yelling Samoa, blah, 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 stuff going back and forth. And this leads us into the first match of the night, which was Hangman Adam Page versus Roderick Strong. This match was tons of fun. Now,
I always forget how hard Roderick Strong chops. We don't talk about Roderick Strong and his chop skills. Like, his chop level is insane. I really forgot about that aspect of him. Like, he's known for being the Messiah, the backbreaker, but like, his chop, man, he is like damn near Wahoo.
Dude, he's so good. You know, and just because of, maybe it's the gimmick, you know. We'll talk about this a little bit, but there's this weird aspect right now that I'm finding in AEW. And that's, for me personally, this is just a 100% personal opinion. And this is the way that I like wrestling. And that's the heavyweight, your main program, your main title program should be a little more serious. So having this Roderick Strong character, the way that he is, kind of makes that entire program feel weird, especially as they're trying to tell this overarching devil story. So
yes,
it's really interesting. Like, it's weird, these different dynamics that you're getting, but it's still entertaining. And you're right, you always forget how good Roderick Strong is, because
amazing,
especially right now, because he is playing this goofy character. That was my point,
which is been the most charismatic I've ever seen him in all the time that I've watched him. Like, again, he's another one that I watched way back in Ring of Honor when he was with Generation Next and all that. And he communicated in the ring, but he never communicated on a mic. This has been the most comfortable I've ever seen him.
Honestly? And I'm not trying to give this company full credit, but I think his time in WWE really helped him become very comfortable on the mic.
No, you're telling the truth. You're telling the absolute truth. This happens often with a lot of wrestlers. Say what you will about WWE. Of course, I don't watch as much as I ever did, you know, in like a decade or so. But I it's not to say I won't never give them credit for the stuff that they do, for the positives that they do. And they do have a pretty good package that they prep these guys who never had personalities before. And all of a sudden, they just get it. And when they leave it, it's like they do take something valuable with them.
Yep. Bennett and Taven try to get themselves inserted. Adam Page gets him off the... he beats him up a little bit. Adam Page goes for the buckshot lariat. Strong goes for a stronghold. Page counters this into a roll-up. He then hits a knee strike, and then he hits a lariat, hits the deadeye, and gets the clean win in about just under 15 minutes.
Great start. Always a great opener. And I enjoyed it.
Yep. The two matches that bookended Dynamite were fantastic.
Absolutely.
And that main event, we'll get there very soon.
But Yes.
Next was a Blue League match for the Continental Classic as Brody King went up against Andrade El Idolo.
What a awesome hard-hitting match that was. Like, first of all, Andrade looks like Super Macho Man from Punch Out right now.
First off, I didn't even notice Andrade was coming out to the ring because of CJ Perry.
About that. Oh, good Lord. HD don't do her justice, man.
Nope. like our good friend Cameron. But here's the thing, though. Like, this match, it was like two completely different styles. And I was more interested to see how these styles would collide. And man, did they collide. And it was awesome. And I love the fact, and this is like where Taz is such an underrated commentator sometimes. And he did such an excellent job in this match, essentially saying, look, Brody King is one big MF-er. Andrade El Idolo is having to resort to his past as a high flyer to try to use his speed against a Brody King.
I will only give them, I will only compare Taz to this guy just once, only because of his UFC backing, but he is the Joe Rogan of this, of the UFC, of AEW, in a commentary sense. That is it. Because at least Joe Rogan, to his credit, will educate you in the ring, in the cage about certain things and aspects and all the stuff. And Taz did remind me of that. Take all that podcast crap that he does, that's a whole nother thing. Yep. But from an educational analytical standpoint, Taz is that type of dude.
Yep.
From there.
And insert storyline. I love how they, how, you know, in this match, like, you know, Andrade was trying to resort to the same tactics that helped him beat Daniel Bryan on Collision against Brody.
Yes.
But they weren't working. And I also love the fact that they're really making Andrade look like one badass guy because of what he did to Danielson on Collision.
Yeah. This booking reminds me a lot of how Ring of Honor booked back in the day.
Yes.
The one thing that made Ring of Honor so awesome, it wasn't just the match quality, but it's the fact that, like, when you watch an AJ Styles match, you watch the low-key match, you watch the Daniel Bryanson match, the next match there, it was like, it, because remember, WWE during the time, it was rinse, wash, repeat. So you know what was going to happen. You know what the move is going to pull off. You know how you're going to execute the finish. But Ring of Honor, what was so great about them and how NXT and a lot of those other, you know, promotions started emulating their booking is that they didn't repeat the same thing, and they actually put an effort to remember what they did the last time to not do it again. That's why when I watch, like, for instance, I, you know, you watch the Young Bucks, people don't give them enough credit. You watch a Young Bucks match and they don't do the same things. You know, their repertoire, you know, their move sets, but every once in a while, a tag team would try to, you know, or, you know, outdo them, outmatch them, and not make sure that they don't do that same deal and make sure they don't get caught. So it doesn't insult your intelligence. And that's what I love about what AEW books right now in that sense.
Yeah. You hit the nail on the head. I have nothing to add there. So essentially they end up fighting on the middle rope. King went for a superplex and tried to turns this into a DDT. He does so from the turnbuckle. Then he hits the hammerlock DDT to score the clean win and his 3 points. Andrade beats Brody King. Andrade is having a hell of a run in the Continental
Classic. As he said, he's deserved it. I thought the finish of that match was very cleverly done.
Yep.
First of all, I thought that he was going to actually attempt to superplex him outside.
I thought so too.
I mean, because it's not so far off from like something that they would do. And I thought it was clever. I never thought about him using the turnbuckle to get him out. And then he doubles down on it with his DDT. I'm like, there's no way. I looked at that and was like, there's no way he's getting back up from this. If he gets up from this, it messes up the whole match. And thank God he didn't.
All right, let's take a look at the Blue League, sponsored by Blue Chew. We have Andrade in first place with 9 points, Brody King and Bryan Danielson with 6 points, Claudio Castagnoli and Eddie Kingston each with 3 points, and Daniel Garcia with no points. Womp womp.
Yeah. You know what's so great? Again, what's so great about the round robin challenge or tournament style is that even the losers, there's some value to the losers.
And that's,
or these spoilers, if you will.
Again, the commentators are doing a great job of saying, okay, this match still matters because someone like a Eddie Kingston, someone like a, you know, a Mark Briscoe can act as spoiler.
Spoilers, exactly.
Who is up on the leaderboard.
In addition to that, the storytelling of their situation also plays a factor too, because it's not like they're being jobbed, but there's something that is developing within each one of them. And we'll talk about one of the contestants tonight that occurred tonight, but like the Garcia, and you see how he's been acting lately.
Yep.
And you see how he's been reacting to the losses and everything.
Yes.
They're making these wins and losses mean something to mm-hmm. everybody who's watching. Mm-hmm. So it's intriguing. It's not like you're just bypassing the losers. You're trying to see how they're going to react to this loss and how it's going to happen, because this can be a turnaround for each one of these people.
Yep.
So well, I'm even more intrigued here.
Yeah. They're telling a great story within the tournament, and that's what I'm really liking about this. If you're looking for overarching stories, you have the Devil, you have the Tony Storm stuff, you have I guess mm-hmm. what we're going to be talking about in a little bit, which, oh my God, I can't believe this actually aired. You know, stuff like that. But they're doing a great job of telling stories within the Continental Classic, and I'm really enjoying that. All right, let us go to probably the biggest waste of an appearance humanly possible in this next week.
I know what you...
Yeah.
Tell it, go ahead.
Rene Paquette is in the back with Kevin Von Erich, Ross Von Erich, and Marshall Von Erich. They're all backstage, and they get quickly interrupted by Orange Cassidy, Danhausen, and Trent Barretta. Cassidy invites Ross and Marshall to team up with him on Rampage. Barretta takes issue that he and Danhausen weren't invited. Then Cassidy just says, "We're in Texas." Barretta accepts it. They all put their hands together. That was that. So here's the thing. This is what I get. This is where...
Go ahead.
This is what gets to me about making these huge proclamations is that you on the week that the week leading into the release of the Iron Claw, you're going to bring in Kevin Von Erich and you're literally going to not allow him to say a full sentence and restrict him to the back when you're in Texas. Seems like a waste.
And no mention. Seems like no mention of the movie, mind you.
Yes.
And you know what's funny? When I was looking at things this morning, I just realized, oh my God, that was the only time we all actually saw the Von Erichs. I just realized that the entire night. I'm like, what a waste. Unless they're going to do something on Rampage. But the problem is, like, not many people are watching Rampage including to even us. Do a promotion. Yeah, well, I still watch it, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, but nonetheless, this is where I will give WWE credit. If they bring somebody in, they're going to mention a movie. They're going to promote a situation. Like, the only reason why they're there is because of the movie.
Yep. Yep. It's like, yeah, you're given this on a silver platter. And you still somehow managed to drop it. Maybe there's a reason why, but I just thought this was a huge waste.
It was incredible.
As huge of a waste as this next thing. And I don't even know how I'm going to talk about it. We're just going to quickly talk about it. Kenny Omega's out. Chris Jericho's out.
This is where I thought that you were saying that, like, the quality of this night.
Yes.
Yes, you're rightfully so to say that.
Okay, so
as you were,
I'm just going to summarize what was happening because I don't even want to get into it. Basically, the Golden Jets, Jericho and Omega challenge Starks and Big Bill to a match at World's End, but they revert to name calling like they're in the schoolyard and acting like 8-year-olds back and forth. Of course, you gotta mention Big Bill and Enzo Amore, because how can AEW survive without mentioning something WWE related 1 week?
Cheap heat pop.
Yep. This was by far Kenny Omega. I'm used to not being great on the mic, and there's this whole New Japan Kenny Omega versus AEW Kenny Omega dynamic that we've talked about so many times before. But this was probably Chris Jericho's single worst in-ring promo, whatever, I have ever.
Where crickets ever. Were actually playing. Like, it was god awful. And actually the bad part, I mean, not the bad part, but like the person to me that really shined was like, Starks out of this. Because once he did that last promo bit, it was like, okay, he closed it out really good at least. But overall, it was so bad.
But what gets to me is that anytime Starks had momentum, he would get cut off by Jericho.
Yeah, exactly. It was not good. It was not good. And I don't know what, like, I can only imagine that Kenny's also probably stressed out as well. A lot of reasons. One, that damn video game. Two, everything that's been going on with Punk. It's like, there's a lot going on in his world right now. So I was more interested in where his mind is at and how collective he was. He didn't look like he was there.
Yeah, he looked so uninterested to be there at this time. I don't know. Man, here's the thing. How that tag team division went from maybe the hottest division in all of pro wrestling that.
Like, where's FTR doing right now? What is the Bucks doing right now? What is, you know, I mean, this, yeah, you're right. It used to be like,
what's FTR doing right now? Hey, Punk, how can we get out of a contract?
About that.
Right? Nah, I don't think so. But, God like, bless. I don't know. The tag team division is hurting right now. Look, I'm all for Big Bill and Starks to be champs, but they're not making this run good at all, and not them being Bill or Starks. They're literally doing what they're told. It just, I don't care about this program with Jericho and Omega. Yep. It just makes, it's like, it's okay, cool, fantastic. All right.
And then what is happening with the storyline with the Bucks situation too? Like, that's, we're waiting on that situation. And I mean, yeah, it's, yeah, that division's, you know, in a, it's going through a chapter right now.
Yeah, it's going through a chapter, right? Speaking of going through chapters, the next match was Ruby Soho versus Riho. I love what they're doing with Ruby Soho right now with Parker. It's really cool. A lot of stuff with the I was about to call them the Outsiders. you know, there's just so much going on right now. Tony Storm is on play-by-play, and honest to God, highlight.
She is incredible. Yep. I can't get enough of her. I wonder if I ever get a chance to ever ask any question, I have to ask, like, how much Carol Burnett did you watch?
Right.
Back in the day. Because I know she gets a lot of it from like Audrey Hepburn and all those cats from the golden era. But the comedy aspect, I feel it's a lot of Carol Burnett in this.
There's a lot of Carol Burnett. There's a lot of I Love Lucy, like a lot of that
old school
stuff. Honestly, you know who I think helps her a lot with her material? RJ. Ooh. RJ City is known to love and admire these old school TV dramas and stuff, like the TV comedies and stuff like that.
But even still, to like be able to have her pull it off so fluidly.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's insane. Like, it just came out of nowhere. Like, we've watched her for years. We know she can be good on a mic. We know she's always awesome in the ring. But it just came out of nowhere. And it's like this. I don't know if we could give WWE credit for this one. I think she just, I don't know.
I don't know. It's so weird. Because she, like, went from someone who you just.
She was a rocker.
Yeah. To this amazing character performance. Move over. Yeah.
It's just amazing, man.
Yeah, it is crazy. It is absolutely crazy. You know, like, move over, Heath Ledger. You got Tony Storm in town.
But in terms of the match, you know, this is another solid Riho-style match, you know? It pretty much is, you know, it's what you expect.
Riho's suplexes are so damn good.
He is amazing. He's absolutely amazing.
There was one Saito suplex that Ruby Soho did that looked kind of scary. I thought Riho was going to land right between her neck and her shoulder.
Yeah.
It just looks so bad. But I guess that's what the Saito suplex is supposed to do anyways.
She looks like a slinky because of how linky she is, you know, for her size and everything. It's just amazing.
Yep. Riho hits a dragon suplex, hits a Meteora, and gets the clean win from said Meteora. As Riho is celebrating, Storm does a slow clap.
Notice Saraya was not around either.
Yeah.
In this one.
Agreed.
So that continues.
Yep. We get a Wardlow video package. He says he's been preparing for war since he returned. He said he's left a path of pure mayhem behind him, destroying every single person in his way. He said, just like the Archangel Michael, he will be the one who will bring the devil to his knees. Wardlow said MJF's world is coming to an end.
I wish they'd call him the Juggernaut, because that just would make a lot more sense in this case. But also, I like the fact that he's using the last rites of power bomb instead of these multiple amounts of power bombs. It's just getting old. I think that one just seals the deal. It's straightforward. I like it. You know, we'll see where he goes with that. But right now it's just like on a level. He's still in the same place he was when he left.
Yeah, pretty much. He's still recovering. He's still rehabbing.
I think he needs a manager.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Wasn't Arn Anderson his manager for a little bit?
for a tiny bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just, but even he wasn't the right one either. Like, he needs a Nana. He needs somebody.
Everyone needs a Nana. Everybody needs a Nana in their life.
Agreed. Somebody like who can really help, you know, elevate him in a sense.
Yeah. All right. Roosh versus Jay Lethal. This match didn't really take too long. Roosh just beats the shit out of Lethal for the most part, even though Roosh is injured. He was wearing the wrap around his left thigh, but that didn't matter. Lethal goes for the Lethal Injection. Man, Lethal is really starting to look slow doing that Lethal Injection, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's getting older. He's adding on a little bit more weight. I mean, you got to remember, again, another guy, another Ring of Honor alum, you know, back in 2002 when he was named Hydro, he was a very in shape kid. And then he grew into, like, now he's in Arn Anderson, Larry Zbyszko, you know, stage of his life. So, yeah, he's slowing down a bit. What is catching up with him
about this is, so he goes for the Lethal Injection, Roosh puts him in the sleeper hold, and I love the callback
message to
John Moxley beating him that way.
The minute he did that and they zoomed the camera on his face, and I was just thinking of Keenan Ivory Wayans and don't be a menace, like, message. he's not finished with Moxley. Nope. Yeah. It wasn't long, but it told a great story.
Yep. Speaking of great stories, this next match.
Before we do that, we should address that we saw Jay Lethal leave the stage. He's not been winning his matches, and Jeff Jarrett and the Oddities, quote unquote, was with him, and he kind of dejected them a little bit. There's a slow burn that is starting to happen where he might be leaving that group and starting taking things seriously.
Yep, exactly. That's, yeah. He was dejected. He was angry.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Seeds planted, as they like to say.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Absolutely.
Jay White versus Mark Briscoe. Jay White is still perfect in this tournament, and Mark Briscoe is hoping to just play spoiler at this point. Dax, what did you think of this match?
Well, he's not perfect because Swerve beat him.
He was perfect. Yeah, he was perfect. Sorry.
Right. But he's maintaining. He needed this
win to get back. Sorry. That's.
Right. Yeah, exactly. No, what can you say? Two absolutely solid dudes, like, in the ring. I enjoyed this match. They're just incredible. I loved it. And I think the win was appropriate.
Yeah.
You know, I really enjoyed it.
There was this one sequence that looked painful, and me with a broken rib, I freaking just squinted at this, and that's when Briscoe was going for the froggy bow elbow, and White just puts up the knees, and Briscoe just landed right.
He ate it.
He got stuffed. He just ate it. He just took it all.
Yeah, man. I can imagine. I could, you know, you there was total empathy on your part in that way. But they did awesome. I thought they did awesome. And I was like, wow, they're actually adding in another match after this. And I'm like, how did main event is going to pull off of this? You know, even though they're adding another 5 minutes and everything, I was like, how are they going to pull this off? But they did. Great job.
Yep. It was really good. This was really good. Everyone's chanting, dumb boys. White hits a sleeper suplex. He goes for the finisher. But Briscoe counters that into a beautiful looking suplex. Then he goes for a froggy bow. This is where he puts the knees up, then White hits the Blade Runner for the win in 11 minutes to get the 3 points. Now,
yeah, it was awesome.
Yep. Now we have the updated Gold League leaderboard. White has 9 points. He ties Moxley and Swerve. They both, however, have one fewer match. So it was reminded to us at this point that a tie would only give Moxley and Swerve 1 point, so that's what White wanted. Again, storytelling within the tournament. And this is when I got very upset at the fact that Tony Khan was promoting, hey, we have 5 extra minutes of Dynamite this week. Because for me, it's like watching the last 2 minutes of an NBA game. I'm going to skip the entire match. I'm only going to watch those last 5 minutes because clearly something is going to happen in those last 5 minutes.
I will say this, though. There are times when he announced that before and it didn't turn out the way it was. So, I mean, it's not like it was guaranteed, but he said, and just in case, there were times where he said where they, there were matches in the past where they said, you know, we're going to extend it if need be. And then it ended up not being, they ended up making it on time.
It not so, need it be.
Yeah. Pretty.
I like how you have to think about that for a second. It not need it be.
Yeah, but I mean, it ended up like the fact that they weren't going to they weren't utilizing all of the actual minutes, and just to create that possibility. So there were times, to their credit, that they didn't utilize the extra minutes, and there are times that they actually did. So they do mix and match every so often. I will give you that.
Maybe because it was like front and center again. We're such a fast-paced, moving society. You forget about stuff.
Right.
But front and center in my mind, at this point, I was like, well, I know what's going to happen now. They're either going to draw or the end's going to come in the very last second.
I understand the reason why he did it. I can't speak for you guys over there because I don't know your providers and all this stuff. But we got to DVR these matches. We got to DVR these shows now. And configure them to be extended because lately all of them have been going past the actual time, and people have been getting upset in the States about the fact that, they DVR these matches and it gets cut off right at 10 o'clock. It usually goes straight to whatever show that comes on after that, but it now gets cut off because now a lot lately for the last few weeks, a lot of these, both Collision and and Dynamite has been going over the time. So now, given the 5 minute, gives people enough warning to say, like, okay, I'm going to extend, you know, configure my settings.
I will say this, though, that if the show or whatever does give enough warning, your DVR will automatically add.
Not mine.
Not all the time. Mine, not for everything. It depends when that extra time is announced. For example, if Below Deck, right, they know that an episode is going to be long, but because the wrestling is weekly, you just don't know. Having said that, I always add an extra half hour regardless.
I had to learn to do that. I had to now I officially went a half hour more and just say screw it, because I rewatched the shows every time before I watched a new show. So I just immediately just cut off once I see everything. I don't watch Young Sheldon immediately after that. So, I mean, now I've conditioned myself to do that because now I never know. But before that, it was like I just was not prepared because normally they would, you know, it would be done exactly at 10 o'clock, you know, at that point. And now it's just like, okay, now I got to set myself up.
Yep.
So I'm glazed. I think that was the reason why he did that.
Okay. Regardless. It gave away. It's like watching the last 2 minutes of an NBA game, but I accept your reasoning and we'll stick with that. But let's talk about this. Number one, Prince Nana. If people don't know, Dax and I have just dare I say we're marks. Dare I say we're Nana marks.
The song is in my head right
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
Big pressure, baby.
Yep.
Did you ever watch the video to that?
I did.
It's awesome.
It's great.
Just freaking awesome.
Number two, Swerve Strickland, in my opinion, is at that level. He is not
officially
to that level. He is at that level. And this match proved it. And I'm not talking about in-ring. I'm talking about fan reaction.
Yeah. He owns it now. He absolutely owns it. And I am so happy to see him at this level. Honestly, I will say this as a black man. And a fan of wrestling, I don't think at this time I've seen such a crowd reaction and such a fandom for a black wrestler.
Eddie
King. And I know we got the New Day out there, but the New Day has its own kick.
Yeah,
but it's something about Swerve that gives some, like, he gives a connectivity within the community and culture. Like, we vibe with this dude. We vibe. With New Day, don't get it straight, but we really vibe with Swerve because he feels like he's a dude that we know from around the way. And to see him on that platform and just being him and don't have to really be extra, if you will, it's really dope to see.
Like, you know what I like? I had this conversation with what's his name? Long running ROH TV champ,
mm-hmm.
not Jay Lethal. He's in ROH now.
Oh, you got me, because I don't know who's the current champion there.
No, 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 he's not. There is no TV champ. At least I don't think there is.
Oh, that's right. They vacated.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, this is actually really bothering
just
me.
Just a concussion.
Shane Taylor.
Oh, Shane Taylor. Okay.
I had this conversation with Shane Taylor, and I just flat out asked, right? Because Shane Taylor is
another one too, by the way.
This is
He's another one. Absolutely.
Because I asked him, hey,
I've rolled with dudes like that.
You're not the angry black man character. How are you getting this over? Right. And we had this whole conversation about just that. Yeah. So Swerve Strickland falls in that category for me, where
both he's of his them. Own person. You're right. Yeah. Like, it's funny too, because you talk about Shane Taylor and you talk about like, what's his name? What was his tag team partner? Limitless Keith Lee. I love Keith Lee, but Keith Lee is just so like, all right, you're a little bit too sage for me, bruh.
He's Zordon. He's Zordon.
Yeah.
He's
way too Zordon. Exactly. For me. Yeah. But like Shane Taylor and Swerve are people that I roll with back in the day. Like they are seriously people that I would see down the street and all this stuff, and we can kick it. Like, that's the type of vibe I dig. Like, the New Day is like that off camera.
Yes.
On camera. It's like, it's all, they got to put on that show. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that they're able to be them and still get over being them.
Yep.
Because even like people like R-Truth, like I'm sure R-Truth is completely out of pocket and over the top.
Yeah.
On WWE.
Yeah.
But I know he had to get to that level at the time. So he kind of paved the way. So Swerve didn't have to do that. You know, and I dig that, and I appreciate that, but I'm loving what I'm seeing with Swerve right now, because he's being him.
Yep. All right. What did you think of this match? I thought this match was incredible, and I love, it could have gone either way.
Can I tell you, if I didn't know that this wasn't real, if I was kayfabe, I would have wished ill will on Moxley. That's how into this match I was, because it was like, I had to take myself back. I'm like, this is total kayfabe. This is not real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I, as much as I love Moxley, I wanted him. I was like full Robert De Niro, Robert De Niro mode. Al Capone. I want him dead. I want his family dead. I the way he won, I was like, yo, I wanted Swerve to win so bad.
Yep.
And it was a phenomenal match, because I was that much emotional in it.
Yeah.
And I had to take myself down a bit. I was like, yeah, because they were going so close to the edge of everything. Like you said, bookend, both great. This was just this, but this one right here, great main event.
It was great. Moxley does a beautiful God style pile driver. And again, the announcers do a great job.
Beautiful.
Why?
The beautiful
pile driver is so much more vicious than a regular pile driver.
Can I say he Paul Orndorffed him?
Oh, yeah.
That was just so beautifully executed, man.
Yep. It was great. Swerve doing all of his kicks, Moxley coming back up, Swerve and Moxley going back and forth, Swerve doing some amazing dives onto Moxley, and all the stomps that Moxley had to eat. Moxley catches Swerve in a cross arm breaker, but Swerve got his foot on the bottom rope to break it. Moxley gets the chair, Swerve dives from the ring onto Moxley on the floor. Swerve went back to the apron, booted Moxley a few times. He's seating on the chair. Swerve did a double stomp from the apron, rolls Moxley back in the ring. Swerve goes for
That's where he made a mistake.
Yes, exactly. Swerve goes for a top rope double stomp and then covers him for the near fall. They did some, Swerve goes for the JML driver, but Moxley rolls him up and grabs the tights for the win.
And a belt.
And the belt, as they did call out of nowhere. A very weird ending. Match ended in 16 minutes, 25 seconds. Gets the full 3 points. And I just love Swerve's reaction at the end. He's seething.
I love it, because this is not the end of them. Yes. I see this may be an awesome rivalry developing soon. And if Mox wins, I see his new opponent. And it's going to lead to something awesome.
Yep.
Can I say this real quick? I want to give credit to Paul Turner because he was the only referee that night that actually counted people out.
Yes.
And it was like, I'm like, why are you guys not count? Like, I know New Japan, what I love about New Japan, because I think when they do count outs, they got the announcer, the ring announcer actually counting with the referee to make it important. And like, you need to get your butts back in that ring very quickly. I think they need to start you doing it that way too, because I don't think they take it seriously when they count. The count needs to be considered an important factor.
100%.
And like I said, when Swerve stomped him outside the ring with the chair, I would have just left him and let him count. That could have been 3 points easily won right there.
And I love how the Moxley even did that. Like, Moxley took him out. So when Swerve jumped onto the top rope and he didn't turn around, and Moxley just tosses him. Yep. That looked amazing. And I love how Moxley's count, just count.
Exactly. Now, this is their first encounter ever, right?
I believe so. If I'm correct? Let's say it is. I would assume.
What a great beginning.
Right?
What a great beginning to something for the future.
All right, cut to the back. The Devil's Sidekicks are beating up Hangman Adam Page, who was earlier in the night accused of being the devil himself. The devil emerged from the driver's seat of the car, and then Hangman Adam Page got slammed onto real glass of the windshield.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, thank you. I had to.
I mean, it goes down to the point, like, I think World's End is going to be where they reveal who this person is.
I think so.
It has to be, because they can't let this run any longer. One. My question is, I can't fathom who this guy is, because it's like, who else do they have planning to come in? That will end the year horribly. Okay. That will be the turning point of like, okay, this
is that like your finger poke of doom if it's Dolph Ziggler?
Yes. Absolutely. The finger poke of doom, the cattle prod of, you know, doom, whatever you want to call it. You would prod at Goldberg. It would have been that level.
They prodded.
No.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So that was the show, my friends. That was the show.
I mean, overall, like I said, like, I agree with you. I agree with the fans. If you base it on a fact that of the expectations of winter is coming, yes, I agree with you. If you just base it on a Continental Classic, I agree with the fans.
Yeah, agreed. I agree.
It's 100%. A matter of perspective. It's a matter of perspective on that case.
Again, I watched this at like 4 a.m, right? So I was like, kind of hoping that I would still be able to sleep. That's why I actually turned on Dynamite. Maybe it was going to put me to sleep. You never know. I'm joking. Calm down. Tranquilo, everyone. Tranquilo.
You so bad.
All right, man. Well, that is the show. Like I said, thanks everyone so much. Dax and I are going to be back next week. We have a lot to talk about. The show name is for sure not going to stick. That's a working title. I just wanted something fun and blah blah blah. And you know, we're talking about a bunch of stuff. We might even go live after Dynamite on Wednesdays. We'll see where we go with this show. But Dax, as always, thank you so much. And let everybody know where they can find all of your awesome work.
When I'm not talking about the awesomeness that is Sunday night's main event in AEW Dynamite, you can always find me on my own show, ACMG Presents Talk Time Live, where is the podcast that caters to all things anime, comics, movies, and games. You can check it out on TalkTimeLive.com, where you can check out all of our audio episodes, latest episodes and archives, video exclusives with some of the well-known names of your favorite fandoms, and much more on that site. But you can also, you know, find us wherever podcasts are played as well.
Hey, speaking of which, you should join Phil and I next week, because we haven't gone through the video game awards yet.
Ooh, oh, yes. There's a lot of fun. There was actually a lot of fun there, but a lot of things that, you know, happened that shouldn't have happened there. So, yeah, I'm down with that.
All right. There was a lot of stuff for sure that happened there that should not have happened. Kind of like a lot of stuff how that happens in my life. That is all right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Just remember, go to patreon.com/SNME Radio. And in January, we're going to be talking more about the patron, because a few things are going to be changing with the patron and how the patron works. And we're going to make sure, I'm going to make sure 100% that the patron is worth it. Leave it locked in here. Subscribe. Leave a review. Dax, as always, thank you so much for joining me.
Always a pleasure.
All right. So, like I said, this is a working title, but you've been listening to the Rampage Ramble, but for Dynamite, he's Dax. I'm Boris. Till next time, stay tranquilo.